I emphasize prior to each interview how important it is to share the project. The They-Them Project grows and informs each time it is seen and heard, and it can only do so through people like you sharing the project through social media. Hello, my name is Brent Dundor. I use he, him, his pronouns. I'm a commercial photographer and activist, and I'm the proud producer of the They-Them Project. They-Them Project interviews non-binary individuals, offering a platform for them to be seen and heard while informing and educating everyone on how words and actions affect the trans plus community.
Hi, my name is Joe Ippolito.
Hi, Joe. Welcome. Thank you for being here. Actually, thank you for having me here.
Sure, thank you for coming.
It's the first time for the interviews where I'm actually not in my studio.
Yes.
So it's something new for both of us. Well, for me at least.
No, and I'm glad that you came out to the house and you can see our pink wall.
Joe, I use he, him, his pronouns. May I ask what pronouns you use or accept?
I predominantly use he, him, but I have been known to go by they, them in the past and even currently find myself evolving towards that possibility as well.
Would there ever be a time that you would be upset if someone asked you what pronouns you use?
No, not at all. I actually, because I pass so well, not necessarily by choice, but people just assume I'm he, him. And when I go into spaces in which people ask me my pronouns, like at a meeting where it's, you know, that's one of the questions asked, I'm actually, I find it enjoyable to have to reiterate what my pronoun is.
How long have you used he, him, his pronouns or they, them pronouns?
Well, when I first started coming out as a trans person back in 2003, I started to kind of identify more along the gender queer, gender nonconforming lines. That lasted probably for about a year, year and a half. And at that time, I went by they, them pronouns. After that, once I started transitioning more fully on hormones, which is not something everyone obviously does, I started going by he, him pronouns. But I have found as of late in the latter part of my transition, or I believe transition is an ongoing process, really, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally, spiritually, that I find myself kind of coming full circle a little bit. And where gender to me blends together more in ways that I didn't think was the case when I first started this process. So I now would be more than comfortable going by they, them as well, and find myself kind of feeling that way internally, more so than even externally, just how I feel internally about myself.
How much responsibility do you think should be put on others to ask pronouns or for individuals to tell other people their pronouns?
It's kind of a combination of responsibilities. I think, again, it depends on the setting, but I think, you know, whereas trans or gender nonconforming people are sick of having to kind of explain themselves, and that's understandable, and non-trans communities need to do a better job of being respectful, I think it's a combination of both parties taking some respectful part of that process on and you know, doing it kind of together in a way that's empowering to people and not, you know, a negative thing.
Interview, if I were to start referring to you as they, them, how would that make you feel?
It would make me feel fine. I mean, as I said, it's not largely something that happens to me in the world and not at work or, you know, out in the world because I pass, according to some folks, so well, but I don't, wouldn't have a, it wouldn't be odd to me at all.
When someone asks you what pronouns you use or accept, is there ever a time now that you do tell them they, them?
Or do
you always say both?
I actually say he, him, or they, them, especially if it's in the context of, like, say, a meeting, like where we're going around and initially introducing ourselves and then saying our pronouns. So I'll say that, or in some cases on name tags, like if I go to the Trans Health Conference, I'll put both he, him, they, them.
What I've learned through the project is some people who might be better understanding non-binary individuals that there still might be this confusion of someone who might go more to one side or the other in the spectrum of gender, but also has a journey where they went from one place to another and now they're going back.
Right.
Can you touch on that a little bit?
I think there's the internal sense that obviously trans identity or gender identity rather is one's internal sense of self. And for me, it has kind of fluctuated in many respects. I think that upon initially transitioning, I felt more binary or wanted to move in a direction where I would present more binary as a male. But over the years, I've come to realize that for myself, and I speak only for myself in this regard, that, you know, gender is a broader thing, that I'm more on a spectrum of gender, and that there's more fluidity within my own gender and also kind of a meshing together of gender. But in the last few years, I've noticed that my perception of gender, even when I look at other folks, it just doesn't feel so, it feels more of a mixture to me. Even other people who fully pass are cisgender folks, where I can see that gender, you know, it's just an external thing. It doesn't necessarily reflect who someone is inside. But for me, it's, you know, kind of acknowledgement of my kind of female socialization self, my male socialization self, and all the other intricacies of who I am as a person that make me kind of a mixture of both. And that has less to do with how I present to the world and much more to do with how I feel inside.
You introduced yourself as Joe. Have you always gone by Joe?
Well, the interesting part is my legal name is still Jody, J-O-D-I, which is my given name. And I never legally changed my name. It's actually Jody Lauren Ippolito. Lauren spelled L-A-U-R-E-N. And it still is. I go by Joe and have, even before I started transitioning, people would call me Joe. But I never legally changed my name because both my given names are fairly gender neutral. But I've been going by Joe for at least 20 years now in different ways.
You said that at one point you identified as a lesbian.
Yes.
So another thing that I want people to understand through the project is that gender and sexuality are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
But you talking about the fact that in your past you have labeled yourself a lesbian.
Right.
That touches, I mean, share that story.
When it comes to sexual orientation, who I date or who I'm attracted to, I came out as a lesbian identified person at age around 23 and then started to progressively move towards a more butch identity. And I guess there was even a point in time where I obviously was still female bodied or women identified, but identified as a butch as my gender identity. But I still never felt like it quite connected to where I wanted to be. I still wanted certain things about the male persona, if you will, that I couldn't have in that body. I wanted sideburns and facial hair and things that I just couldn't obviously obtain myself. Existed in that space for a couple of years, maybe about a year and a half, and then decided I really wanted to start testosterone hormones and actually physically transition. And, you know, went through that whole process, top surgery, the whole thing. But now though, I really do kind of identify in a more gender variant way or a gender diverse way, because I have been able to more fully embrace aspects of my female socialization, my male socialization in the past 17 years.
I haven't asked this question to anyone before. From your experience and your journey, when do you think it is appropriate to respect a child telling you what their gender is? When do you think it's appropriate to start using the pronouns that they are asking you to use?
Well, you know, if I base it on my own experience growing up, I would say probably very early on, 6 or 7 years of age. And again, back then, you know, people didn't think about these things at all, you know.
Do you think there's a specific age that would not be appropriate or might be confusing to a child?
I think where there are some kids that are most definitely trans and kind of, you know, their identity is such at an early age, they know it, they feel very strongly about it. There are also kids who, you know, try on different things, may that be gender or sexual orientation or just identities, And that's okay too. And it doesn't mean someone's actually trans just because they're trying on living in a more masculine or feminine way. Or they might be gender variant, may not have anything to do with their sexual orientation. I think it's a very challenging thing if you're a parent and you have a child telling you this. I have empathy for parents who go through this because it's not easy. You want to support your kid, but you also have concerns. So I think that, looking at each situation individually, I think parents know their children probably better than most people. And if they're good parents, they want to love their kid no matter what. But it's not an easy thing to say, okay, you're born a little boy and I'm going to, support you to socially transition to live as a girl in when you're in fifth grade. But I think, obviously it's changing.
In what ways do other people validate your gender? And in what ways might they not?
The interesting thing is, and I don't know if this is true of everyone, and as I've evolved in my life and grown and matured, I've become less needy of other people's confirmation of my identity and just I'm more comfortable with myself. So, it's nice to have that confirmed by others. But as a person who passes as well as I do, I don't have the other experience of going out into the world. I did early on before I transitioned and started passing. But, a lot of trans folks who are somewhere in the middle by choice, though, are constantly questioned in society, and that can be hard.
Tell me what an example of your grandparents validating your gender would be.
Well, my grandparents actually made the transition with pronouns before my parents did. It was like the minute I told them, they just moved from, at the time, she and her to he, him. They just loved me. They didn't care what I identified with, how I looked, as long as I was happy and healthy. And they just made the transition almost immediately, started sending me birthday cards to my grandson.
Where I'm headed with the project is I'm trying to highlight people who are doing things in the community and try to showcase what they do.
Okay.
Can you tell me what you do for the community?
So I consider myself to be an activist, an advocate, a filmmaker, an organizer. In the past 7 years, I've been doing work with Gender Reel, which is my film festival. The mission of it is to enhance the visibility of trans and gender nonconforming people in film and media. As I said, started that back in 2010. And it's now we're in the midst of our 7th year. In conjunction with that, I also made my own film on trans aging issues. But the work with Gender Reel is really about bringing visibility to the voices of trans people from the perspective of trans people. So most of the films, not all, but most are created or made by trans or gender nonconforming people.
If people want to find out more about Gender Reel, where do they go?
Well, our website is www.genderreel, spelled R-E-E-L, fest.com. You can also check out our Facebook page.
You mentioned briefly that primarily Gender Reel showcases people who are part of the trans community. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me why that is or why you think it's important?
It's because, these experiences haven't had any visibility in the past. It's starting to get better now. We see films on Netflix and places like that. But there's still kind of a lack of visibility around the kind of diversity of the trans community. And so where Gender Reel kind of falls now is that, we have this broad, diverse kind of group of films that really kind of touch upon so many different issues in the trans community that aren't being kind of talked about or seen.
Off camera, we did touch on the concept of, as you were just saying, how important it is for trans individuals to tell their own stories. But we also had a conversation about, in respect to the fact that I am a cisgendered individual doing this project, what that might actually mean to the audience that is listening. So can you touch a little bit on your opinion towards all of that?
Okay. Yeah, I think that there's reason to kind of be curious about what it means to be a cisgender person who's doing a project or a film about trans people or gender nonconforming people, or in this case, they, them, folks who identify with they, them pronouns. I think that I'm a strong believer in transparency, being kind of honest about where you are with things and, you know, what your goals are for the project, being open to listening to other people's perspectives and folks who may share concerns with you about that. In some respects, because I'm a white passing person who passes as a male, our experiences aren't that much different in the world in that respect. The only difference between you and I is that I'm trans and you're not. And people, though, in the world don't know that until I would otherwise tell them. So you and I have a kind of a lot of similarities in our personal experiences, but at the same time, you know, it may be perceived differently if I'm doing this versus you because I am of the trans experience. I think that it can come with challenges and people are going to question, you know, why is a cisgender person making this project? Why isn't a trans person doing this? And I think those are all valid concerns and questions. But at the same time, I think by explaining your truth, what brought you to this project, why you think it's important. And also, as you mentioned earlier, you know, this project may not be for the trans audience. It may be for the non-trans audience and helping to educate non-trans people about the experiences of trans people. I think where the trans community finds itself questioning folks in this regard is folks who haven't done that work, who haven't asked themselves those questions, and who are kind of maybe perceived, they're kind of have marketed their careers off of this community and not given a lot back in other ways. So I think that's where the questions come in.
What advice do you have for those who might be having a hard time understanding someone else's pronouns or gender?
Well, the advice I often give when I'm doing cultural competency trainings at like my place of employment, which I do a couple of times a year, that kind of thing, with predominantly non-trans or cisgender people who are practitioners of mental health. I always say, you know, first off, be respectful. If you don't know, respectfully ask. And you even might want to say that, you know, I want to be respectful of your gender identity. So would you mind just letting me know what pronouns you prefer to use? I think it's my experience that most trans or gender nonconforming people will respond positively back if that question is asked of them in a respectful manner, and, you know, but, you know, and then not questioning it, obviously. If someone says, well, I want to go by they, them pronouns, well, then don't question it. Just respect that.
What message or advice might you have for youth who might be questioning their gender identity?
My work with youth has been really fascinating in that I've worked with high school students who are trans or gender nonconforming, and boy, I mean, it's amazing the things that how they're identifying. So I think that I would encourage youth to just continue trying out being themselves, finding support, just, you know, trying to make connections with even online in supportive communities.
What advice do you have for those adults and in certain instances, parents who have children who are questioning their gender identity?
I would say that just finding as much support as you can, educating yourself, you know, watching videos like this or coming to Gender Reel, reaching out to groups like Transforming Families here in the Twin Cities area. You know, it's harder if you live in more rural areas of the country, but again, there's a lot of online support. So I think the work has to be done as well on the other side, because again, we're seeing high rates of depression and suicide in our youth, and we need to really support them as much as possible.
You actually gave me some numbers on statistics.
Yeah, I mean, the rate of suicide for the trans and gender nonconforming community in general is pretty high. I would probably say it's, you know, 30 to 40%, if not higher at this point. So I often, as a professional person, a mental health practitioner, as well as a community member, I have to ask myself, why is this? We have so much more visibility, so much more access to support than we ever had before, but yet the issue of suicidality is on the rise.
When someone you know sees this video, what can they do to make a difference?
Well, I think that by the pure fact that they may be watching the video in general is a good first step. If you have friends or family members who you think would be interested or open to it, show them the video. But I would say watch other videos too. may it be from this project or other projects or other places, see some films, read books. There's a lot of great books out there. It's often the right books and the right videos or the right films to see, because there's some that aren't so good. But I think educating yourself, finding out more information, and then, you know, if you're a person who doesn't have a lot of connection to the trans community or the gender nonconforming community, you can start making those connections. You can be an ally. You can be a cisgender ally or supporter. Going out to an event, donate to a youth organization that works with trans folks, or trans youth. You know, money goes a long way. People, we in our community, our own communities, minimize the importance of that. And I'm always a believer that, you know, with money, programs can exist. More programs can happen.
Is there anything else that you would like to say to the community or anyone watching?
You know, I think, again, you know, these kinds of projects are helpful. They certainly, you know, obviously there's been people in the world who've done not so good things for our community. But I think that anytime someone's doing work to educate and bring awareness to people's identities, experiences, is important. And, you know, we need cisgender allies. We need other folks who are willing to put themselves out there and do this work as well, because we cannot do it alone. We cannot silo ourselves. We cannot be an island. And so I think that it's just important to, you know, I think this project can have a lot of resonance for a lot of people. And I think it's, you know, something that it's a good thing.
Thank you again.
Thank you again for listening to this third episode of the They Them Project. Tune in next time for episode 4, where I had the chance to interview Seth Justice, who uses he, him, and they, them pronouns. Seth is a gender and political studies major at McAllister College, who also works for Outfront Minnesota and is the self-described Twin Cities drag expert, all of which created great conversation to grow and learn about gender. I emphasize how important it is to share the project. The They Them Project grows and informs each time it is seen and heard, and it can only do so through people like you sharing the project through social media.